we'll all have to start looking at how do we create the right infrastructure, how do we create the right platforms, how do we create right partnerships. You know, so Ash, I have always advocated one thing, and which I think as a country we don't do that enough, that there has to be a very collaborative work between the service provider, between the manufacturer, and between the various consumers and the various authorities. We all have to work together, and if we work together, and if we share together, and if we were to use, and we were to be all on one common platform. Of course, it has to be ensured that, you know, we are not, technology has to be foolproof. If that is there, that is taken care, you know what it will do? Today, information will be free flowing, there will be no duplication, the speed will improve, and thereby we will eliminate many things and we'll start getting better.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to our channel, please consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you never miss an update. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome not just a very, very dear friend, a fellow YPO member, but one of the tall leaders in the supply chain space, Mr. Shesh Kulkarni. Shesh, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Ashutosh. Thank you. And I think when I hear you say what you said, you know, I think thoda jyada ho gaya, but fair enough.
Why not? Shesh is currently in Bangalore. He lives there. He's the managing director of Novatum Logistics, India region. Novatum is a global logistics and supply chain company headquartered in Spain. And as I just mentioned to you, he's also a fellow member of the YPO. So Shesh, you know, we've been discussing about supply chains, and supply chains, I believe, have not got their place in the sun except for the last few years, because for whatever reasons. Right. So today's conversation is going to focus only on supply chain with you, and I'm going to really get your knowledge. So okay. Let me start with saying that, you know, when I started my career 40 years ago, the services function used to be the accountant, the personnel manager, and the purchase manager.
Right.
Over the years, all three of these supply chain, all three of these service functions have evolved into C-suite roles.
Yes.
I want to understand from you what has happened over the last 15, 20 years that has made the role of the supply chain officer so powerful.
Right. Ashutosh, firstly, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on The Brand Called You and to talking to you. You know, I follow you very closely. I follow your programs very closely, and I find them to be of a great, immense value and learning. I've seen some great people on your platform. So I think
you were there.
Congratulations.
Earlier. Yeah.
Thank you. I think congratulations on that. Now to answer the question, what has changed in the supply chain? I think significant changes have happened, Ashutosh. Everything has changed in many ways. The quality of people has changed. The way we did business in the past and the way we do business now, that has changed. The way the businesses are integrated, that has changed. It is no more a business in isolation or just a support function. It's an integrated function. Okay. All about that. It is the backbone of any and every system. It is the key. I think in my view, supply chain significantly contributes both to the top line and to the bottom line of the organization. So they are the differentiators. A good supply chain, you know, team or a process in any organization adds immense value to their working and to their existence and to their future.
Very interesting. And, you know, I've also been noticing that in the last 2 or 3 years, particularly political leaders, whether it is our Prime Minister, whether it is US President or other leaders across the world, have suddenly discovered the importance of supply chain, and they all seem to be talking about it.
Yes.
What is happening?
Yes. No, I think this was waiting to happen, and I'm so happy. I must tell you, it's a very good question, because I think we as Indians and we, the people of India, are incredibly blessed to have Mr. Modi as our Prime Minister and as our leader. And you know, we've had interaction with him. He's spoken to us at the YPO forum on a couple of occasions. I have immensely felt very proud of whatever he has spoken. Now, why are the political leaders today a little more involved? It is because they understand the importance that how supply chain, a good supply chain, makes a difference to the whole economics of the countries working. You know, it is not just one side support function, because you just, I heard you say in the beginning that earlier supply chain was all purchase department and the Exim department. It's no, you know, it is the value creation process.
Correct.
You have a right supply chain, you create value, because people produce, people invest a lot in manufacturing, people put a lot of money in marketing, people do a lot of money in the manufacturing processes which are involved in it. And then you don't see the last mile process the way it needs to be seen. You don't create the right visibility, you don't create the right, you know, what's it called, in-time deliveries, then you have lost it. You put in so much of money on your R&D and whatnot and whatnot, and here you are, you failed on the delivery, the cash realization has not happened. So today, everybody is realizing that your economy sits on there. Because also, Ashutosh, competition is immense now. The world over, now world is your marketplace. So people are becoming aware that if you have to be successful, and politicians more so, that if you have to be successful, you have to have a very robust supply chain system. And I think our Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, has done a phenomenal job of creating a visibility for India. And look at how many Indians are sitting at various global organizations as their CEOs. It speaks, right? I think India is slowly starting to getting its due. And I personally feel very grateful to Mr. Modi for creating that visibility, creating that platform. And look at FDI. We have the highest reserves of FDI today. And why? Because the world is saying there is a value here. Correct. There's an opportunity here. And I think that's what Mr. Modi has done.
Fantastic. So one of the other interesting things that I've been reading and talking to many people is that today, the profits that are being delivered by the chief supply chain officer are probably as much or greater than what the traditional marketing teams used to deliver. And that the chief supply chain officer actually is a core component in the budgeting process.
Yes.
What is changing there?
No, I still remember this about 17, 18 years back. We did a little research for a small for a large company who was a global organization but based out of India. So they wanted to, they were saying, listen, my supply chain cost, my logistics cost is high. That was their point, and I want to reduce it. So we said, okay, let's see it. So when we looked at the face of it, everything seemed all right. And then we started looking at it. Why is it that the logistics cost is high? And I'm telling you, 15, 18 years back, we realized that in that time and era, there were a lot of costs because there are duplications. You know, we did not have the infrastructure, number one. We did not have the IT platforms, number two. We had warehouses which were not integrated. We did not know what was lying in the inventory, what was not lying in the inventory. And how much of write-offs which used to happen. Point number three, we had five people chasing a particular shipment. So net of net, there were so many hidden costs which never ever showed up on the cost sheet, but had a way of slipping it into your balance sheet. So, and people have now become aware that you have to eliminate all these redundancies which are up there through the process. And this is what supply chain management process is all about. And that is what it today, how and why he has become significantly important. Because today, you are supplying to anywhere in the world, you want to ensure you are A, giving in time, B, giving it. Not when you say giving in time, you have to give it when he wants it.
Correct.
It is not about giving him 2 days early and he said, listen, I want this to be delivered on X day. The trick is to deliver it on that day. And he wants it in that quantity. He does not want a little more or less. You know, in olden days, one could get away with it. But now, everything is becoming money. And in order to ensure, if you are able to manage the whole supply chain process, that means your manufacturing processes get defined, your marketing, the definitions get defined, the way you approach the market, that gets defined, and production gets defined. So thereby, value is all across. So today, I think supply chain guys are significantly important.
Very well said. Very well said. So now let me bring you to the here and now, which is the pandemic, which has impacted everybody in the world. And I'm right. You know, I'd love to get your thoughts on what has the pandemic done, positive and negative, to supply chains.
You know, Ashok, this is a, you know, there is no straight answer to this question. There is a very, very, and I will be very honest, and I think it has done enormous good. That is in one part. Yeah. It has also created enormous challenges as the part two. Now, what is the good part? Let me dwell on this and let me share my thoughts on this whole working. There could always be somebody who will cut in on this story slightly differently, which is okay. But way I see it, you know, supply chain processes and the whole working, what pandemic has done is has created a focus on need and important at how networked you are, how wired up you are, what is your technology platforms are, how as an organization you are in a position to capture information, share information, relay the information, manage the information and relay it. Mm. That is one. Two, can you do this remotely? Do we have to? And you know, how are your you know, whole processes are well, how are they defined? Two, people were not in this whole pandemic, you know, look, many parts of the world, and in India and particularly, we saw this, how much of lockdown we had. Almost every city went into lockdown. Now, when you had a lockdown, but your essential supplies were happening. Now, how was that happening? It is because of the supply chain processes. Many companies we today, you know, thanks, hats off to likes of Danzo's, likes of, you know, various other supply chain companies which are out there, they are making a difference. Now, what it is that at that level, within the boundary of the city, it has made a huge difference. Now, within the country platforms, it has made a huge, because these all, be it the food items, be it the essentials, they were all moving very fast and they were getting distributed very fast. Mm. Now, then comes the place of the global platform. You know, when you do inter-country business, inter-continent business, now there, the whole, while the thought remains the same, but the process changes, the stakeholders change. Now here you need airline, you need shipping line. Now suddenly with the borders closing down, with all that whole, people were reducing capacity, manufacturing companies not working at their optimum capacity. Mm. And with, you had restrictions on number of people who could be out there. The whole services got affected. Mm. So suddenly, if you are an importer or an exporter, your business was impacted. Mm. Because, you know, your export, how was it impacted? Imports, you know, the world was importing from China in a big way, and suddenly China's, you know, you were not able to source out of China as much as you wanted to. Correct. So that brought the business down. Mm. You were importing to create certain products for your manufacturing, which you were re-exporting it, that also got impacted. Correct. Then you were exporting. Now suddenly, freight rates went up. Mm. Now, they went up significantly. Now, you said you could deal with that as well. Now, second issue which came following the freight rate was the equipment challenge. Mm. Now, suddenly, equipments were not available. Now, so obviously, at one phase of the local level, when you see it from India and you see domestic, local distribution, the likes of Amazon, the likes of the Dunzos and all, they have managed that process very well. They have delivered it. Everything has worked very well. But when you went to cross-border, there, I think, we world suffered a bit. I think many manufacturing companies today suddenly find, I get so many calls from various CEOs and they keep, you know, they're having challenge about the rates. And they say, when will this change? When will this change? But, you know, underlying factor, Ash, besides all this, every time the rates go up, it has a bearing on your cash flow.
Correct.
Now, it's something which nobody talks about. Mm. And, you know, India is a place where the cost of raising capital is expensive. Mm. You can't just go to the bank and say, give me money, because they charge you a whooping amount. Mm. And that is scary. So cash flow, how do you manage that? How do you generate that? Because the capital infusion is not an easy thing.
Correct.
So there has been a different set of, the goods and the, you know, not so good, which has happened. But all in all, what it has done is, it has definitely woken us, all of us, and told us that there are many ways to do the business. Mm. So working from home, we were quite efficient. We have in fact grown our business. Mm. Purely because we were able to manage it well. Our IT platforms are very well integrated. Our teams were very well engaged and they were constantly available. So it made a huge difference. We grew a business of 40%.
Wow.
Which is very interesting, right?
Agreed.
Fantastic. Can everybody say that? No.
Well said. So let's move now to, the area of specialization which your company specializes in, which is logistics warehousing. And I'm going to add cold chain to that as well, especially given the fact that you know, in the pandemic, cold chain is so critical for our vaccines.
Right.
What is happening in logistics, warehousing, and cold chain with regard to technology, and how is that evolving in our country to keep pace with such efficient supply chain?
I think increasingly every player out there is understanding and appreciating the importance of technology. Okay, the ones who are not doing it, then they are short-term players. But every long-term player, every serious player is investing intensely and seriously in the in technology. Okay, so the ERPs are very well. Now, ERPs have to be compatible. You can't have a standalone ERP. ERPs have to be compatible with various platforms, which is, you know, be it in the manufacturing domain or be it in the services domain, they all have to speak and mesh up very well. So technology is becoming big and important. Now, so that has definitely changed. Now, talking about infrastructure, which you talked about warehouses and the infrastructure, we, you know, government is doing enormous level of work in terms of, you know, in building the infrastructure, but we still have a way to go.
Absolutely.
We still have a way to go, but opportunity is huge. You know, just to throw some numbers at you, you know, in 2019, they said the gold chain market was about close to 250 million.
Okay.
It is said that by 2026, it will be 500 million. Now, virtually doubling in next few years, which is huge, which is huge. But now, also cold chain. India has a good cold chain processes, but we are not geared up to handle pharma to that level, particularly vaccine. You know, so you need a different set of vaccines because pharma cold chain processes are slightly different, but and the scale is different. This time in particular, the demand has happened. Food chain, you know, for the perishables, I think we have many warehouses which can cater and support to that. But we still have a way to go when it comes to handling very, very sensitive products such as vaccines and various other pharma related, because pharma grade warehouses have a different, specifications altogether. They cannot be mixed up with the general food items or other cold chain products which are there, because it has to be clear of many, it has to be odor free, it has to be, you know, there are some many, you know, and FDA, you know, the Federal Drug Authority of USA has given various very detailed, you know, parameters, and they call it distribution in platforms, guidelines in Europe. So they have given enormous levels of guidelines on how they would want it. So they have to be compatible with that, because most of these pharma companies not just make it for India, but they also make it for international. Yeah. So I think it is definitely changing. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to now move to another challenge that supply chain managers across the world, I'm sure, are facing. From being in a situation of an almost borderless world as far as flow of goods and services were concerned, over the last few years, for whatever political tensions, etc., the walls seem to be coming up all over. China, which is the world's factory to manufacture, has got its issues with various countries.
Right.
Now, for political reasons, the job of the supply chain manager is getting more difficult, because how do they procure from difficult countries? So what strategies do they follow?
You know, I have to be very careful in how I answer this and what I say and what I don't say, because I must tell you, you know, it is true. It has become a borderless world. We are a global citizen. We are, you know, all on the, from the business point of view, we are a global. Our marketplaces are global. Our manufacturing facilities are global. We are all over the place. But, you know, you have to go back. And I, you know, if you go back in the olden times, when about 20 years, 30 years back, there was a very old saying that don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Correct.
Okay. Now, obviously, there was some wisdom in that. You know, these places were relevant in certain times and irrelevant in certain times. So there was an era which was not very relevant, but it now again come back to say that, listen, you need to think beyond and you need to have your fallbacks. Now, what happened in the last 1 year is an eye-opener, and every supply chain guy and every organization is today thinking, listen, what do we do? Now, we as an organization have seen a huge increase in our volumes to USA. Our orders which come in from our organization, US, is pushing in a lot of orders. And I'm assuming they're all earlier sourcing it out of China. They're coming to India, which is very good. Now, Europe has increased their sourcing out of India. Our numbers into Europe very big. The amount of volumes we do into Spain, we do it into UK and other parts of the Europe is huge. Why? Is because people, I think, are today waking up that you need to have your fallbacks. Otherwise, you suddenly find yourself standing isolated, stumped, and not in a position to deliver what otherwise, and your whole process gets exposed. So fallbacks are important. So today, every good organization is spreading their risk. So it is not just one country now, definitely. It was China, but I think India, I see this as an opportunity for India.
Okay.
You know, I see this as a great opportunity. You look at India today, you know, about 15, 20 years back, apparel was the largest exporting product out of India. Today, it is not. Today, we do huge volumes of pharma. We are the largest generic drug manufacturer in the world. Awesome, right? So hats off to every pharma companies which are out there. And look at the biotechnology space. Amazing work they are doing. And they are now reaching out to the world and doing many things. And look, Serum today became partner with AstraZeneca. And there are so many contract manufacturing companies which are out there in India who are working in partnership in tandem with various other large global pharma companies and doing contract research work, which is incredible. Now, if that is what is happening, that means apparel is a big one in India now. Pharma is a big one. Look at automotive. You know, many of our customers today supply to almost, you name the large automotive company they supply, and we have some few common friends who are, suppliers to many of these large companies, and we work with them very closely.
Amazing.
It is amazing how, and their volumes are picking up. Now, and you have automotive, you have engineering, you have various other perishable items which are going, food grain product, FMCG product, packaging material, everything. Everything is now finding a place in India and people are sourcing out of India.
Wonderful.
You know, various household products, tiles. India is becoming a huge market for tiles exports. Interesting. Projects, you know, amount of projects we have handled, Ashutosh, in the last 2 years out of India is unbelievable. We have built a specific skill set around that, which is interesting, you know. And I just think India is just beginning to experience this. And I think world is also realizing that they have to spread it. And I think India has a great story to tell, and it will only get better with the time. I personally think, you know, if only one was 20 years younger.
I agree. So my next question, Sheshna, is going to be on technology. 15, 18 years ago, the only technology that I remember that came into supply chains was an ERP. And today, right. Of course, you know, as you mentioned a short while ago, that now even the ERPs have to be synchronized with one another quite considerably. But now, supply chains are using artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, drones. What are your perspectives on this?
No, I think it is here to stay. All these are here to stay and will only keep getting better with the time. There is no way. Look, Amazon, the Amazon's facility up in the US is absolutely automated. Now, what have they done? They have just opened up the eyes. You know, they have AI, machine learning, robotics, everything. Now, why is it that important? And I think India, I'm not specifically coming to India. India supply chain organizations and Indian, we as a country, the whole political system, the whole the ecosystem of business, we will have to start thinking how to adopt this more intensely. Now, there is always a fear in the minds of people that it will take away the jobs. It will take away a lot of jobs. But I think it will only create more jobs. Why? Because I think reskilling is what will come into play. Today, unskilled labor is the highest. You know, in this country, almost 85-90% of the people out there in the labor force are unskilled.
Correct.
So, moment you change the paradigm, people will start adopting to it. And the moment they start adopting, what are you doing? You're creating a higher quality of people, and thereby they are, what I should say, raising the bar, they're creating a far more value, and we all see the benefits of it. So, and then India will also start attracting various other products which are high value products which are going to be manufactured in India. You know, they right now go to many other countries, but they will now then start attracting because we have that level of skills. We still have the highest number of engineers in the world, but still we need to become relevant to the manufacturing domain and manufacturing process. So I think that is going to happen. I think technology is the key. Mm-hmm. It is a necessity. It is no more a just a support thing. It's just your is there like your veins in your in your body stream. You know, they are very important. You can't say it is not just that you have blood running. You need good technology platforms, and I think Indian industries are becoming very aware. I've been associated very closely with various industry bodies, mm-hmm. be it CII, AmCham, and various other, BCIC and all that. They all are today very closely discussing it. They are evaluating, they are participating in it, and they are trying to see how to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And technology is moving very fast. So that means whatever you adopt today has to be relevant, or it should be upgradable. You can't get locked in. So I think I personally think technology is the place to be. And technology is the key, most significant thing.
Very well said.
Amongst many things.
Very well said. So Shesh, I'm now coming to my last question to you. And this is a question on e-commerce.
Right.
E-commerce has really changed our lives quite considerably. But what has also happened is that the customer, and everything ultimately revolves around the customer, the customer has started to expect food delivery in 30 minutes. Any purchases from e-commerce platforms in the next day, which Amazon Prime seems, promises everywhere. This must be putting incredible pressure on supply chains. How are the supply chains coping with the new customer expectation paradigm?
We in supply chain business have to be very grateful to Mr. Boozers, I think he has definitely changed the landscape a bit. Correct. And I think e-commerce companies have made few things possible.
Hmm.
You get your food supplies in 30 minutes. You get your, groceries delivered in 30 minutes, and they're all there. That means why is that happen? Hmm. They have connected the source and the buyer.
Hmm.
And they've also connected the delivery guy in the process. So that means all the key stakeholders are all connected and hooked up very well. So similarly, the global organizations are now waking up and realizing this is going to be significantly important. So they have created a benchmark. Now, will it be possible to do that level? Well, I guess it is an aspirational. We will not get there so fast, but which means that, we'll all have to start looking at how do we create the right infrastructure? How do we create the right platforms? How do we create right partnerships? Mm-hmm. So Ash, I have always advocated one thing, and which I think as a country, we don't do that enough, mm-hmm. that there has to be a very collaborative work between the service provider, between the manufacturer, and between the various consumers and the various authorities. We all have to work together. And if we work together, and if we share together, and if we were to use, and we were to be all on one common platform.
Mm.
Of course, it has to be ensured that, we are not, technology has to be foolproof. Yeah. If that is there, that is taken care, what it will do? Today, information will be free flowing. There will be no duplication. The speed will improve. And thereby, we will eliminate many things and we'll start getting better. I personally think it is possible, it will take time, but it has to be relevant to whatever industry you are in. You can't move a product from India to USA, in one day. I think that's a little overkill. Mm-hmm. The vessels have started sailing very well. The aircrafts, we are today third day delivery up there, second day delivery is very much, which is happening around the world. Mm-hmm. So will it become one day? Maybe it will, if there are dedicated, tomorrow better quality aircraft, better quality freighters, we create specific freight corridors in India, internationally, we create those hub and spoke concepts, and we create the whole system which works in tandem with each other, that there is a platform. There's something very interesting, and I've always been telling everybody, today India, the C-class cities in India, are today, they say urbanization rate in India is about 18 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that is happening, that means the guy who's sitting up in some remote area is also making a demand. Mm-hmm. They're also, and you want to create infrastructure there, manufacturing infrastructure there, and if he has to reach to other place. So we have to ensure that his logistics cost does not go up. Okay. Because in India, our logistics cost is still very, very high. While in the developed economy, it is still between 3 to 4, 5, 6%. Mm. Or in India, we still sit anywhere between 20 to 25%, depending on which product you are in. In some cases, it's lower, but average, it will be in that category. Wow. What is important is, imagine if there is a platform which creates a visibility that how many trucks fly on that route, how much is the space available, and it is constantly available on a bidding process. People are able to, you know, ship on that. It will just change the landscape.
Correct.
You know, suddenly you realize that you are co-sharing the space, you are creating higher value for everyone.
Mm.
And it will just become dynamic. So everything is a possibility. I think technology has made it possible. We have talent in this country, which is can think scale, think big, think diverse. I think we just have to, at some stage, make that happen. And that will only start happening once we get the right, you know, the authorities all come to line. I think they have really come a big way, but we still have some ground to cover. I'm very sure the next couple of years, we will see a landscape changing everywhere. So the world is going to be different. And I personally think supply chain will possibly have the same level of importance like a marketing or the finance has it in any system. Okay. So if that the day they are sitting, they've already made it to the C-suite level, but they need to be having equal say. They have a say, but they need to have an equal say, like a vetoing power, like the finance would have it, or anybody else will have it. The game is on.
Fantastic.
If that happens.
Fantastic. Shesh, what an incredibly upbeat interview this has been. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking me through this amazing journey of supply chains. I have learned so many new things today. Thank you again and good luck.
Ash, thank you very much once again. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And what I should say, keep challenging the thoughts, keep challenging everybody. And I think wishing you great success in the year ahead, and I keep looking forward to listening to your program. Thank you once again, sir. Have a wonderful day and God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.